Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey guys, welcome back to Soul Sisters. I'm Jessie Katz.
I'm Dara Golub.
And we have a cool guest on the show today. I feel like I was very much like her when I was young.
Same.
But that she owns it better than I was able to. And we're talking about Marissa Paternoster from Screaming Females, which is such an amazing band name. Before I knew that much about her, I just knew that we had to book the lead singer from a band that's called that. I feel like this podcast could be called Screaming Females because I feel like that's how I walk around this world these days.
Yep.
Anyway, but she's super cool. She's like a very self-deprecating, kind of introverted seeming person who then like just fucking kills in her music.
Right. And is also very funny.
Yeah, very funny.
We had a really funny random at times podcast.
Yeah, it was a fun one. I feel like we almost didn't do justice. I mean, guys, like if you're not familiar with their music, check it out. And they have like 6 studio albums already out and a 7th on its way in February. But Marissa is considered one of the greatest guitarists today / ever.
Oh, hold on. I feel like I almost want to read these quotes because we... yeah, I mean, what do they say? This century's take on guitar rock, group with a classic rock sound who are expanding our idea of what a rock band can be.
Okay, this is what Spin, which I'd like to shout out because that's in Billboard family anyway.
Yep.
This is what they said about Marissa. They named her the 77th greatest guitarist of all time, and this was 6 years ago already. So maybe she's climbed the list by now.
Right.
But they said, it's hard not to feel unexpectedly smacked upside the head by Marissa Paternoster's guitar, which, like her bracing singing voice, still sounds way too massive to be wielded by any human being without superpowers and way too confident to fit comfortably within the confines of indie rock.
Fuck.
Yes. Yeah. You know? I don't even know if I'd call them indie rock, honestly, but...
Right, no. I mean, that's...
I don't know.
What did you call it? One big mega...
Mono genre,
right?
No, but I feel like they're like punk.
No,
rock.
They are right. I would not call them indie rock either.
Yeah. Sorry, Spin. But the rest of it's accurate.
I'm trying to hamper down the my impulse to just be like, how do you make that music? Because she's such a guitarist, and we touched on it very briefly, but like. It's phenomenal to watch and to listen to, and so.
But she's so modest,
right?
And like, she's not very forthcoming explaining her gift, and she's honestly just really fun to talk to. So that's what we did,
right?
Yeah. Anyway, so I hope you guys enjoy this episode of Soul Sisters with Marissa Paternoster from Screamin' Females. Well, we're here to talk about electrolytes and brand sponsorship.
Right.
Cool.
Am I crazy to think that you can't actually put more electrolytes into water than it already has? I've never fully understood that.
I think you
can
probably put anything
that.
Into water. I don't want to know.
I think it's just electrolytes are just salt, right?
But smart water isn't salty. Like what the Gatorade
is. They just spray electrolytes on it instead.
Yeah.
But I think it's just salt.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a scientist.
I'm going to let you two chemists work on this.
We need some more beakers.
Yeah.
In here.
The world needs more beakers.
Yeah, and colored fluids. Let me get down to the bottom of it all.
Do you ever think about the stuff that you did in science class and you're like, why the hell was I allowed to do that?
Like dissect an owl?
You dissected an owl?
Dissected an owl.
An actual owl?
No, I'm sorry.
Owl pellet.
Owl pellet.
I'm like, it damn.
So much cooler that was freaky.
Dissected
an owl.
Fetal pigs in eighth grade.
Jeez.
Wow.
It was disgusting.
I didn't know that actually happened. I thought that
I
was only in movies.
I don't know why it happened.
Were you down or were you disgusted?
I was totally down.
Both.
I mean, now I probably would have opted out of it because I don't even know if there was an option. I can't remember. But I liked, and I still do, like, gross stuff.
Yeah. But do you not
touching it.
Do you not, like...
Well, now I don't eat meat. So I probably would have been, like...
Not cool.
I can just look at a picture. Yeah. I don't need to do this. But in eighth grade, all I wanted to do was, like, take the fetal pig's kidneys out and throw them at the other kids, which is exactly what happened.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Of course.
So I feel like that paints the perfect picture of what you were like in school.
I was actually very well behaved. I think it's just, it was a great opportunity that was presented to me, and I'm sure everyone else was doing it. And I was 12, so I was like, well, we had better fall in line. Pick up a kidney and chuck it, you know?
Was this around the time when you were learning guitar, already shredding? Where were you at with guitar when you were throwing around pig
kidneys? And, yeah. During my peak organ throwing period, I wasn't playing guitar. I wasn't really interested in music that much. I probably was listening to almost exclusively DMX. Mm-hmm. It was really popular at the time. I still really enjoy musical stylings of.
For sure.
my dad had a guitar. I just wasn't into rock music. It was like this like archaic music that like only
like
Neanderthals listen to. To me.
Yeah.
So, and everyone in my school kind of like, we all listen to like Hot 97 or whatever.
Right.
Uh-huh. So, and I still had a very, very strong desire to belong and be cool, which started fading away around that time. But I wasn't really into rock and roll until I was like 14, which was probably my like freshman, sophomore year of high school.
Yeah. Why did that start to fade away?
I realized it wasn't going to happen for me.
Like, really
realist. A hip-hop kind of vibe, like, that kind of
I just, like,
or something.
I wasn't going to fit in, you know? Like, it wasn't really meant for me. When I tried to, like, wear the right clothes and have the kind of, like, cool temperament of the popular kids, it's just, like, it wasn't my style. Like, I am a very anxious person who doesn't want to wear, like, stuff from Limited too,
right?
To bring it all back around,
contempo.
And like,
yeah.
As much as I like shoplifting from Claire's, like, I don't really want it to be like a lifestyle choice.
Yeah.
Or I didn't.
So that was like 13, 14 was the transition. You're like,
yeah,
I'm out on this.
Yeah, and then the band that like got me into rock and roll, who's had like tons of hits at the time, and it was back when you know music videos were still on TV and stuff, was garbage.
Yeah.
And then when I found out about that band, which was like really accessible for a teenager, I learned about like Nirvana, which had, you know, been, that band had been broken up for years at that point, and Kurt had been dead for years at that point. And so, and then from there, it just like kind of steamrolled into a bunch of like Pixies and all the Kill Rock Star stuff. And so
I feel like Garbage was the first one for me too.
Yeah.
What is that?
No, mine
didn't
was like
have a Garbage
Green Day.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. My dad, I did like Green, I feel like I liked Green Day.
They were like light. They were like rock light or something.
Yeah, I just remember my dad had the tape for Dookie.
Yeah.
And we were driving up to Maine for some like weird family thing, and I was just sitting in the backseat like staring at the cover.
Yeah.
I could still probably, I feel like I could draw it from memory with a little monkey. And reading like all the lyrics and stuff.
Yeah.
But
I kind of resented Green Day back then because we used to like always get to take turns in art class or gym class about like playing CDs for while we were doing those activities.
Oh, that's cool.
And the boys always wanted Green Day.
Yeah.
And I remember I always wanted Salt-N-Pepa. Aerosmith. I feel like those were the major albums for me. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Both. Good for you.
Yeah. And the no matter which boy it was in that era, it was always putting on Green Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Weezer.
Yeah, yeah, I was super into Weezer.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the first albums I bought on my own, and one of the first like rock, like one of the first music videos that was new that I remember seeing on TV was like for Hashpipe, which the Green album is not really one that I look back on and totally love, but
right.
It was still kind of exciting to see, like,
totally. I don't remember the hash pipe video.
They're like two sumo wrestlers.
Oh, yeah.
Live. So but that was, yeah, Weezer was like one of the first big rock shows I got to go to that wasn't like in a VFW hall.
Right.
Like an emo band in a VFW hall yeah. in North Jersey.
Yeah. I remember like going home and like watching music videos.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like that was like 3 o'clock. Yeah. Right?
Well, we had the
Carson
box.
Daly TRL.
Did you guys have the box?
No.
So I grew up in Elizabeth, which is like
New Jersey.
I don't know, 15 miles away from here.
Uh-huh.
And, the box was like a jukebox, but it was on the television, so you could call and pay like $3.50, and then you like punch in what video you want to see, and then you just sit and wait
what?
For it to for, come on.
Like pre-internet-y.
It was like right when like the internet was being introduced into everyone's home. Like my family didn't have a computer. But I would beg my dad to let me call the box so I could order like...
Oh my God, never heard of that.
Never heard of that either.
That's yeah. amazing.
And it was, yeah, some people had it, some people didn't. Yeah. But, like, since it was a jukebox, like, whatever was popular at the time was right. just what was in constant rotation. So, like, I'll Be Missing You by Puff Daddy was just on all day. And I would just watch it over and over again because I was yeah. like, fuck it.
Then you could request something else.
Yeah, but I wasn't ever allowed to.
Yeah. That's awesome.
My dad was like, hell no.
And then, go. I was going to say, how easy was it to then transition to a shredder?
Yeah.
Like, you discovered all this music, but, like, you're such a killer guitar player. Like, how did that transition happen?
When I learned about, like, Nirvana and Pixies, and I was just listening to a lot of grunge in general, I got, like, super-duper obsessed with Smashing Pumpkins. They were, like, my favorite band when I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And so the early records have tons of shredding on them. Or
is that word, like...
Yeah.
Is that,
no, it's... Who cares? Okay. Whatever.
Any word just
is
becomes
there a better
over
word
you.
Yeah, it's like... It?
No, playing. Not yeah, there really yeah,
is. Like, is there another word?
Not even? Off the top
like,
of my head.
What's the other way we could just not sound like everybody
playing
else?
Playing the way
you
that you
play
do.
Well. You fat all the notes.
Okay, all
just
the notes.
Touching them all, yeah. all over. Yeah. I wanted to play like that. I think that's like kind of a big part of where my guitar playing style comes from. But then I also really liked the Pixies, and I also really liked Radiohead, which actually has like a lot of lead guitar playing in it. But then when I got into punk, I was just trying to like, I guess became a lot more focused on like really liking songs and liking bands and not being so obsessed with being like a quote unquote like apt or good musician. I realized that like that's not really what I wanted. What I wanted was to like have like be a part of like a punk community or like mm-hmm. a like-minded community or find people with the same like value system that I had, which was really hard to do because I was 15.
Yeah.
And I didn't
well, what was your concept of a
value?
Yeah. Like, what did that mean for you then?
Well, I mean, when I started getting into like Chainsaw Records and Killer Rock Stars, you know, as a young queer, I was just like, I didn't really figure it out until I was probably a little bit older, but I was just like, I just needed to like find people who like weren't afraid to verbalize that because I was like so terrified of it. But I was super obsessed with, like, Sleater-Kinney and Bratmobile. Mm-hmm. So I think it was, like, I was trying to, like, having some kind of, like, catharsis via, like, that music.
Yeah.
But I still, like, I couldn't put the pieces together in my brain until I was older. And I just wanted to hang out with other people who, I'm sure other people who were, like, queer, other women, and people who like rock music, and just like that didn't exist in like where I was from, or I'm sure it did, but what was I gonna do, put an ad in the Village Voice? 14 year old seeks other gay 14 year olds, like I don't know what I would have done. So I just kind of like walked around with my CD player with Anti-Skip Action.
Yeah
didn't talk to anybody.
with anti-skip action. Yeah.
60 seconds anti-skip action.
I pointed out our DP Mike because I walked in here today and asked him if he liked the Walkman. Uh-huh. And I meant the band. Yeah. And he was like, oh, like the Sony? Yeah, I love the Walkman.
I used to ride my bike with my CD player. I remember like going to Radio Shack and being like,
no skip.
Like minimum 80-second anti-skip action outs. Yeah, I'm not fucking paying for it. And they were like $90. Yeah. But I needed it because I had those headphones that like wrapped around the back of your head.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, cool. Pro move.
Just like ride my Huffy in town.
No, I'm glad you just cited some of those influences because last night my girlfriend asked me if I was going to ask you if you were inspired by Riot Grrrl music, and I was like, I think it might come up. We'll see. Yeah.
I mean, it was a huge part of my life once because I really wanted to be in a band, and I knew I wasn't, like, a terrible guitar player, but I was really scared of playing with other people because they were almost always young boys, and I was terrified of young boys.
Yeah.
I was terrified of everybody, to be honest.
Right. But young boys especially, like,
and they, sure what to do. They also wouldn't really give me the time of day, which was, I mean, they didn't know me. I was, like, a recluse.
Yeah.
So.
I still feel shitty.
I guess so. I asked if I could be in, there weren't a lot of bands in my school anyway.
Yeah.
I remember I asked the new metal band in my school if I could be in their band.
You had a new metal band
very
in your
nice
school?
And so that they they were called a
I don't think my high school, we certainly didn't have.
No.
I want to say.
Like, my high school didn't have bands. No. So lame.
Well, you just made like groups of friends that were. Yeah.
I saw them once and they weren't bad. They played above a bowling alley in Roselle Park.
Yeah.
What the hell were they called? It'll come I to just you. Remember.
Pig intestine. Thrilling.
No, it was like Repulsion. It wasn't Repulsion. That's like a grindcore band. But there was something like that. But I remember the lead singer. He was very nice to me and he actually. I think he might have felt bad because he asked me a couple days later if I could design a tattoo for him, and it was a rat holding a guitar, smoking a blunt. Nice. I made That's it awesome. For him. I hope he got it. I don't know if he did.
And so you were a drawer also?
Yeah, I like to draw. That was why like everyone left me alone, because they were like, Marissa's really weird, but she can like draw my name in bubble letters if I need her to. So she's all right.
So you're very much like the Ally Sheedy in the Breakfast Club.
Good. I get that a lot. I get that a lot, but then I didn't see the Breakfast Club until I was older.
And then when you saw it, did it make sense? Or were you like, that's not me?
I was like, sure. I think we all have a little of every Breakfast Club character.
Exactly. That's what they say.
Yeah. But it was mostly the pixie stick thing where I was like, I would never do that.
Oh, yeah.
And was it Captain Crunch on a sandwich?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's like I was a very normal sandwich.
I'm curious how you found Riot Grrrl and like all these alternative bands that weren't being played on Hot 97 and on TRL. Like, I know. What was your way
It's
in?
A shame though. Wouldn't it be cool if Funkmaster Flex was just like
that would be wild.
You just like threw in some XQ17. Yeah. Was like, listen to the
Actually today that would be totally normal, I feel.
You think so?
I don't know. It's all, don't you feel like it's all
I know,
just
the mono
kind of,
genre.
Yeah.
It's just one trap beat.
Yeah. Right.
It's a good beat though. I'm sure it was somehow via Nirvana, probably.
Yeah.
Like magazines, like
I used to read like Spin.
Yeah.
And then when I could get my hands on Punk Planet, I would look at that cuz they sold it at Barnes & Noble. So I would just sit there and read it. Because what are you going to do in New Jersey suburbs? Just hang out at Barnes & Noble and read music magazines. and then, you know, I got a computer probably like freshman year of high school or something. And we had like a dial-up modem. But Napster was like a big thing still. So, and Kill Rock Stars had I don't remember like what got me on that page. I can't recall. Oh, okay. I do know. When I was in therapy as a 14-year-old, my therapist's daughter worked for Rolling Stone and made me a mixtape. And it was the best thing ever.
Whoa.
But it had a Slater Kinney song on it. And then got my first computer and I looked them up.
Wow.
And Kill Rock Stars had like that sample page where you could download like one song from each band. Mm. So then I went through each band and it took like 2 hours to download each song. And then I'd drive well, when I could drive to Vintage Vinyl, which is like this big old record store in Jersey, and just get everything.
Yeah. Wow. I guess that would have been what, like 99,
90? No, this was like early 2000s. Yeah, right, I was in high school.
What was your relationship with your therapist that their daughter was making a mixtape? I wish my therapist had terrible boundaries like that. Yeah.
Oh, don't get me started. She was actually really awesome, and I think, like, she just was, like, she probably, I can't remember any of this stuff, but, like, in retrospect, I imagine teenage me sitting on the couch and not saying anything except wanting to talk about punk. And she was probably just, like,
I don't know what to do
with this kid. And she was just like, I'm going to have my daughter make her a mixtape.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's like the best thing that ever happened to me. So she was, maybe she was like, she was a genius.
Yeah, genius.
I don't know. I mean.
That's amazing.
I love her to this day. I don't know where she is or what she's doing, but.
Yeah, it's like she's one of the people in your life that like pushed it along.
That's a good story.
Is that not good with boundaries?
I mean. My therapist, she could live on the moon. I have no idea what her life is.
Really?
She could have 10 kids.
The fact that you knew that, right. I have, same with my experience. I have no idea.
I just feel like that's not a secret.
It's not a bad thing.
Yeah, she's just like,
it's not. Style. Honestly, I wish that I could just know so I could stop wondering about it.
You just ask.
Yeah, sometimes we're like in therapy and I'm like kind of talking about myself, but I'm also like looking for a wedding ring or I can't like I'm just wondering so many things about it.
Totally.
Oh, I like grill them all the time.
Yeah.
That's been my experience as well, Jesse, but
Have you ever asked?
I haven't.
Maybe we just need to ask.
Yeah, I'm sure we could.
I wonder if our therapist like playing by the rules. This podcast also.
Next time you leave, just be like, what are you doing later today?
I wish they cared that much to do that.
Huh?
Just be like, what are you doing? Like, when you're in session, you know, and they're like,
later.
So I'm sorry.
I'm going to get a drink.
Our time is up. Just be like, oh, cool. What are you up to today?
Yeah.
I don't know. When I walk in the room, sorry, we're digressing so much, but when I walk in the room, I will sometimes be like, how are you? And I feel like she gives me a look.
Yes.
Like, that's not a question
there
to ask me.
There must be a therapy, like, style, like, of teaching.
That's
like,
true.
A learning that's what you do. We don't go there.
How are you? I think that's an acceptable question to ask.
I feel like this is what I get. Fine.
Wow. Rough, dude.
God, I hope she never watches this. I'll be a therapist. Anyway.
No, it'll just be more interesting.
This is like an episode of Curb this season where Larry like tells someone about something that his therapist likes and then his therapist is like, you violated doctor-patient confidentiality. And
like,
Larry's like, it doesn't go that way.
Right.
Like, you can't talk about me. I can talk about you.
Yeah. I've seen her in the supermarket. I mean, I remember seeing her in the supermarket a couple times and being thrilled.
Yeah.
I was with my dad. It was weird.
You're like, you're real. Yeah. You're a human.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're all living
She's
the same.
She's getting some strawberries or something.
Yeah. Anyway, when did you start writing songs?
I think I started pretty immediately.
Okay.
Because that's what I realized I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Was it journal, diary style at first that turned into lyrics,
Thank God it wasn't. I had a live journal.
A live journal? Like a blog?
Yeah, I remember
that was a different.
I don't think I wrote down feelings in it or anything though. I'd be like, today Mandy puked in class. It was funny. Mood, laughing. Like, I don't know. When my dad would bring home like his work laptop, he'd let me use it, and he had like one of these little weird computer mics you could like plug in. I had like this Yamaha keyboard where you could put the drum preset on, and then each key was a different drum sound. So I'd like play the drums, be like, doo, doo, da, doo, doo.
Yeah, right.
So I'd play the drums, and then like I'd just think of a song that I like, and like try to emulate it and make my own. And I recorded like, you know, like 40 songs, and they all sound psychotic. It's just like I go through every genre in 3 minutes.
Yeah,
but I had so many, and then I finally decided to share them with my friend in high school. And I was really shy about it because I hadn't really sung in front of anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, this isn't bad. And I was like, oh, cool, thanks.
Good.
Did you like to sing for yourself? Like, were you like, yeah, that sounds amazing?
No, I
just
I
to
remember
yourself.
Like, thinking about it and being like, this isn't so bad. Like, you could probably show it to Allison and she would think it was okay. And I knew I could sing. Like, I knew I was singing on key and stuff, but like I was just afraid of doing it in front of
like,
people.
Yeah, did you have any opportunity to sing in public? Like,
yeah, I was in choir for a long time. Okay, you know, but that's different.
Yeah, but at least you know that like I can project and sing, and I sound a certain way. Like you know the tone of your voice, or did that develop? Like, did the timbre and tone of your voice, was that an evolution, or was that like just this gift that you've had?
I wouldn't really call it
Sorry
a gift.
To call it that.
Shredding and
guys, these gifts.
I don't need to go to therapy anymore.
That's what we aim for. Yeah.
I'm done. I'm fixed.
Success.
I'm waiting to bring up the fact that you were called the 77th greatest guitar player of all time.
We could go there.
It's okay. I have a good rebuttal for that.
Okay.
he would.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I was in choir for a long time. I knew I could sing on key, but I think I've gotten a lot better at it even over the course of just being in Screaming Females. Like, when I hear our early records, I just sound like a total goofball. And I was pretty afraid to sing in front of people when we first started playing too, but I think we all looked at each other and were just like, who's going to do it? And I was like, I guess I'll do it.
Especially it was your writing. Like, it was your...
Yeah. I mean, we all write the songs together, but I write the lyrics. So it was just kind of like, well, I guess I'll do it. And once I kind of like had like my friends behind me and we were playing punk shows, I was like, I did it. This is the thing I wanted to do. I made it.
Oh,
awesome. So that was cool. Yeah.
Was playing punk shows, was it with your bandmates now, or did you have other people that you tried out with and then?
No. Me and Mike and Jared have always been Screaming Females. And then if any of us ever had to leave or quit or die or lose a limb.
Yeah,
or have part of our brain removed.
Uh-huh.
You know, we wouldn't be a band anymore. So, and you know, we write all the songs together and couldn't really do any of this stuff without each other. So it's a very, it's very much like we're a package deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they definitely gave me like the confidence I needed to be able to stand in front of a bunch of drunk people and scream.
Yeah.
And not drunk people.
Okay. So you guys sell a t-shirt. I'm going to read what this t-shirt says. This is my way of asking you about the name of your band.
Great.
The t-shirt says, Siri, why is Screaming Females called Screaming Females if there is only one female in the band? And then it says, Screaming Females does not abide by your narrow sexual paradigm. Please expand your mind.
It should have a gender paradigm. I guess it still works.
So how much of that is joking and how much of that is being super annoyed by people asking about the name
I'm
of your band?
I'm so glad you just read that because I was about to go there. Thank you.
Guess, you know, at this point, I feel like it's almost 50-50 because I love to laugh and I love jokes.
And you love to be
but
annoyed.
But it is, I'm not easily annoyed, but like, it's such a weird question because I feel like because our band name makes a reference to gender, people are just like, but why? There are two people who are like male presenting in your band. Like, I'm so confused. And it's just like, you wouldn't ask, I don't know, what's another band? Like the Walkmen.
Right.
They're people.
Yeah.
They're not actual Walkmen.
Right.
Why? And so,
well, Yes, but you do understand it on the other, like on the other hand, that name is so specific and so like forward about it that you would.
But is it any more specific than like Smashing Pumpkins? That's very specific.
Yeah, because they aren't. None of them are pumpkins.
Right.
Yeah.
Like Screaming Females implies
or presenting
a
as pumpkins.
Or like hey. They could be.
Maybe they are. I don't
pumpkins.
They might be pumpkins. That's a great band name, also. They might be pumpkins. Yeah. but there is a way that name does sort of imply a certain message or direct or just.
That there would be more than one screaming female.
I'm trying to think of other bands that have like a.
Like a split
refer to gender
and
their
and there that there's a split
in their name, but all I can think of is that band The Men, which is not
I don't know.
Yeah, well, okay. How about this? So how did the name come about with the three of you?
We had a show in New Brunswick at our friend's house, and we didn't have a band name yet. And there was like a book of poetry at Jarrett's house that one of his roommates had, and we just opened it, and we're like writing down. We would just like open each page and like write down whatever words we saw, and they were like, that's good. I don't know.
That was it?
Yeah, it's that's like awesome. The most boring story ever.
I think why it's interesting is like, it's fantastic that it works that way, but our society, our culture, the way we think, doesn't allow us to just be like, oh yeah, that's normal or makes perfect sense. And I mean, the fact that your two bandmates, Mike and Jarrett, were like, cool. Like, not like, wait a second, hold on. What does that mean about you as a leader? What does that mean about us as equal members? What does that mean?
I don't want people to think that I'm a screaming female. That's
right.
Me putting words in their mouth.
Right, right,
yeah.
Right.
That never happened.
Right. Exactly, right. Yeah. Like, but, yes, what does it mean about the tenor of your band, but also about the dynamic of the three of you that puts you as clearly as, like, outwardly facing you as a leader? Was there that sort of negotiation at any point, or are they just like the two coolest, like most open sort of?
Well, yeah.
I mean,
they're the best.
We never really had a discussion about it. I think we were just kind of like, at the end of the day, like this is just gonna be a pairing of words that represents like our group, and I mean there are it just seemed to like roll off your tongue easily. There was an interesting kind of like very storied and visual that you could like kind of interpret in a myriad of ways. But really we just needed a band name so we could put it on the flyer for the show. And I wish I had a more sophisticated answer for you, but that's all that happened. And we were also like, I was like 19 and Mike was like 7. Mike was still in high school and we just like needed to play the show.
Right. And I wonder if now more than ever people are wanting to interpret it. I mean, probably forever, I'm sure in your entire history, but especially now we're like, what does it mean that you're that? You know?
And what is gender?
What is gender?
Yeah. Well, I mean, either way, people are going to fixate on the gender composition of your band.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact that you're an amazing guitarist is probably confounding to a lot of people who encounter your band. And it's something that people would be trying to, like, figure out. Anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's, you know, it's part of the great unknown, I guess. Yeah. It's just like, there is no reason. It's like, why are we here?
Right.
I don't know.
No,
like,
totally.
It is what it is.
So,
yeah, that's the Genesis story.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's so boring.
No.
I know. Dara, you had a question about producers they worked with, right?
Oh, yes. Well, I wanted to first ask about working with Steve Albini and if you could speak to any of a specific type of sort of magic or something that he brought to your album Ugly. Was it Ugly? And then I also just was curious about your choice of producers and if the idea of working with females, especially on the production side, or you know, engineers and producers, if that means anything to you more so now, same as ever, if you have evolving feelings about that in general. But
The only producer we've ever actually worked with is Matt Bayless, and he did Rose Mountain and the next arc that's going to come out all at once. Steve Albini typically doesn't, quote unquote, like produce anything. So like if you're sitting in the control room and you have second thoughts about like a bridge, you could ask him and he'll tell you, but he's not going to like, he's not gonna be like, hey, I think like this verse could use like, you should play a seventh instead of like whatever. He's an engineer, so like if you're the things that what I've learned seem to really matter to Steve is like, he's not gonna like kind of waste his time recording your band if you don't, if you aren't like dedicated and really care about what you're doing. If you're just coming in to make some kind of like weird vanity project, or you are like listless and just need something to do with your time, and you are just like, I have a bunch of like extra money, let me go make a record with Steve Albini, he's just gonna be like, get out of my face. Like, he wants to make records with bands that care about like their craft and like, you know, dedicate their life to it or whatever. So
I was, must have some sort of unusual skill at turning the dials and doing the things that engineers do.
I mean, he's an he's an incredible engineer. Like, he can do stuff with the tape machine that I didn't even know humans could do. And he's also just like, his work ethic is really cool. Like, he's not looking to like create some kind of, I mean, he already has like an amazing CV, which like made some of the best records ever, but he's basically just trying to like to work every day and do what he likes to do. And maybe the band's not his cup of tea, but they really care about their music and the album that they're going to make, and so he'll make it sound good for them. And I had the wonderful luck of actually like becoming his friend, so I talk to him every once in a while, and he's just like a sweet pea. He also is an incredible cook. Holy crap. Wow.
It's good quality to have.
Does that happen in the studio
sometimes? He made us pasta once. It was really good, but one time we went to his house and he made like this crazy breakfast. It was like the best flavors I've ever eaten. He's
a wizard of all sorts.
Truly, he is. So, yeah, but Matt is an engineer and a producer. So, like, when we made Rose Mountain and the new record, we'd send, he's in Seattle, so we would have to send demos back and forth. And then he would, like, send suggestions and notes. We'd demo him again, and then finally, like, kind of come to some conclusion with the song. So he'll offer his two cents. And I wish we could have the opportunity to work with a female engineer or a producer, but Jared and I were actually trying to find some working female engineers or producers, and you know, on the internet, which we're not really part of the engineering world. So I think we found that there just weren't many who seemed to be doing the damn thing, which we're probably wrong. We probably just didn't find the right, like, side of the internet, but
no, I mean, I face this. We're always trying to find women DPs to work with, cinematographers, and they're definitely out there.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's just, it's not 50-50 yet by any means, you know. So you just have to look extra hard, and because it's not just a matter of finding someone who's capable, but you have to find the right person that you jive with, who gets your vision or your sound or whatever it is.
You can't,
you know,
just say,
it's a process.
You're a woman.
Exactly.
You have to say, that's, you're the woman for me. Right, yeah.
But in general, are you feeling different feelings about these things in the past month, 6 months?
Or
just about gender equality?
Well, I mean, we certainly have a long way to go. And I mean, for the most part, you know, when I play a show, because I've had the wonderful luck of being in the band that I'm in, there are usually other women who are also playing. But when I'm making records, I'm usually the only woman there.
Wait, why do you say that because of the band you play in, there's usually other women?
Because my band is a female-fronted act. We're associated with other female-fronted acts. And so if we're going to... And most of our friends' bands have female-identified people in their bands, too. So it's like...
Does that bug you to be lumped in that way, or...
No. I mean, when I was 14 and listening to all the Kill Rockstar stuff, like, I wanted to listen to a woman's voice singing.
Yeah.
Because that's what, like, resonated with me.
Yeah.
And so if my band can do that for other young women, then that's great.
And the bills normally like match up. It's like, oh yes, it makes sense that we, not just because we're women, but because our music makes sense together.
Yeah,
like that's, I think, where it gets
tricky.
I'm not
saying it's all the time, but like
a lot. Sure.
And then even like having the wonderful luck of like starting out as a band in New Brunswick, since there were so few people playing music, it just wasn't really like a point of discussion if there were other women playing. Everyone was just stoked that there was a show.
Yeah.
And there was something going on. And so like a lot of the female musicians I really look up to who like changed my life were ladies who were playing in bands in New Brunswick. Mm. So I was spoiled. I really didn't realize it until we started traveling a lot in the very beginning, and every show was, I was just like the only girl there.
Yeah.
But now it's definitely improved from where I'm sitting. But I know, I'm very aware that we have a long way to go.
Yeah. So are you guys going on tour for the new album?
Yeah, we're going on a spring tour. The first leg of it is with a Philly band called Radiator Hospital.
Okay.
And then the second leg of it is with a doom metal band from Baton Rouge called Thou.
Okay.
And a grindcore band from Philly called Hears, H-I-R-S, which we're super stoked about. We've been trying to kind of put that tour together for a long time, so we're excited that that's happening. And yeah, I mean, we always try and bring our buddies on tour, and these are all people we've known for like, you know, up to 10 years.
Yeah.
So awesome.
You guys put on a fucking show.
Thank you.
Like, how is touring? Do you have to save your energy somehow and sort of like not get drained and just like preserve all of that, or are you able to like party? And because it is wild.
I've never been
like, how do you like touring?
I have partied before. I you sleep a lot
in partying.
Maybe that's why I sleep a lot. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm a sleepy lady. I take a lot of naps. We're very mild mannered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Group of people. We enjoy, you know, just all of the things that mild-mannered people enjoy. Like, we like to read and listen to podcasts, and we have conversations about, like, album sequencing and marvel at, like, a really nice tree or foliage representing, like, if the foliage is really nice, we'll be like, wow, the foliage is nice today. If we see a good sunset, like, we'll talk about it. Like, we...
A real peaceful, like, a juxtaposition is what that means. Wonderful.
Yeah. You know, yeah. And, like, we like having, like, a nice IPA, you have a knockback one or two.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, yeah. So just,
and then you rage
just,
on stage.
And then you, I just like can't
get
imagine that.
Stage.
Yeah, that adrenaline.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
We are very calm.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
It is.
Otherwise,
good.
You'd burn out.
Yeah.
Cool. So the album is out on February 23rd.
All at once.
Which is what I feel like the world is these days. Yep. So it seems like a perfect
I thought I had
title.
I have one of those like air horn apps on my phone. And I don't
know. It's a promo. You can add it in post.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Cool.
Awesome. Marissa, thanks
great.
For coming on the show.
Thank you.
Of course. Congratulations, everybody. Good job,
we
guys.
Did
congratulations,
it.
Crew.
We did it. Yay. I once was in love before.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.